Laguna's Only FM. And at this time on a Wednesday morning, I can figure out the buttons and the switches now that Tyler stepped out for a second. We talked to Billy Freed with Billy Freed's State of the City. And with any luck, Billy is on the phone with me right now. How are you doing, Billy? You there, mate?
There we go. That percussion was, I couldn't hear you, but now we're good.
I did it for you because you run this drum circle thing that you do.
That's right. I appreciate the shout out. We love the drum, especially on a full moon down at Aliso Beach. It's epic.
And is that that's the time you always do it? Is it full moon? So people have to keep their eye on that.
Yeah, or they just go to Facebook and look up Full Moon Drum Circle Laguna Beach, because there's always controversy as to which night is the actual full moon. You know, it's not always cut and dry. It depends on what calendar you consult.
Hey, you don't have to tell me, mate. I'm a Jew. We're always arguing about that. Which night is it? Which, that's why we have two nights for stuff, you know, for Jewish holidays, just to make sure.
Well, we need a, you know, we need a lot of nights to atone for all of our sins.
That's definitely true in my case.
Yeah.
So what's happening, Billy? Billy Freed is an activist and a local journalist and a writer and a business owner. And each week you keep your eye on the city council's machinations, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that you already addressed this, but the biggest news on my mind, of course, is the loss of our literary lion, John Gardner.
Yeah, we've been talking about it all morning, sir.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wasn't tuning in, but I'm just shocked. And I saw John 2 days ago traipsing through the Park Plaza, the new plaza that we have in downtown Laguna. And it was exactly the kind of spontaneous collisions that I think occur when you have public space, pedestrian space, where you run into people unexpectedly. And, you know, that's what our community is all about. The most popular days of the year here are the Sawdust Locals Night, Halloween on Oak Street.
Hospitality Night.
Locals Hospitality Night. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, hey, we're a talkative bunch, a convivial bunch, and when we see each other, it really reinforces what a great town we have, because that's our asset, is our wonderful, talented people. And John was amongst the greats here. I mean, really kept the torch for poetry alive all these years, and he's so passionate. I know he was a collaborator with you.
Yeah.
And ran into him with his dog on Monday, and he took a daily walk, and everybody saw him at the plaza, and it was like, where else am I going to see this guy but at Park Plaza? And then to hear this untimely death is just devastating.
Yeah, it really is. I haven't quite, I just said to Tyler, I don't think I've quite processed it, you know, yet, but a great loss. I adored the man. He was a gorgeous man, and it's just shocking, really, when you lose a friend, you know?
How old was he, do we know?
He was 70 years old.
70 years old, but a spry 70-year-old, as far as I could tell, full of passion.
Oh, it's totally, it's way too young.
Yeah.
You know, really.
And he came to Laguna, you know, I wrote about him because he came to Laguna in 1968, the year that Laguna was in really the hippie outpost of Southern California, and he came to study poetry under a very renowned, I think Galway was his name, who was a very famous poet at UCI, and John got involved in the anti-war movement. He was always a countercultural icon, and his poetry was fiery, as you know. I mean, he didn't hold back.
Yeah, his poetry is available online if people want to go and have a look at that. It's obviously on Amazon.com, and Laguna Beach Books has a bunch of his stuff. They always carried his work. And, we can't say it enough. It's an absolute shock. And he was part of what makes Laguna Lagunary, and the kind of guy you bumped into him in town. He always had something positive to say, and he always smiled at you like he was interested in you, and you felt like you were the only person on, you know, people say that about people, don't they? You felt like, you know, you were important, and he made you feel that way.
Well, not everybody can do that. That's a rare talent. You know, he's empathetic, he listens, he looks at you in the eye, he's interested in what you have to say. He's got that rich baritone voice, and he told stories about this woman that preceded him in Laguna who had a poetry reading every week at the library, and she got people like Allen Ginsberg and Charles Bukowski to come down to Laguna. Yeah. And she passed the torch to John, and God bless him, you know, not a lot of money in poetry, but there he was, supposed to do a reading on Thursday night. And I think they'll do that anyway, but he was keeping the torch alive for kind of a lost art.
Yeah, Thursday night at BC Space, I think they're saying 6 p.m., and there'll be readings of John's poetry, I'm absolutely sure, and chance to give your friends a hug and be in the moment, as John always was. So there you go. All right.
Absolutely. And I mentioned Park Plaza. That's in the news. I'm sure there's going to be mixed reactions. Have you been down there yet?
No, I've driven by a couple of times. Tell us about it. Tell us what's going on.
So, we took it was a citizens' effort. We collaborated with the city, and we went to them and said, there's so much interest in having more pedestrian space. Cars are so yesterday. We don't need all this parking. We need places for the community to get together. And what's so fabulous about this little diagonal spot of Park Avenue at the foot of Forest Avenue is that it has a canopy of shade trees. Big giant ficuses, so you can sit outside naturally in the shade, which you cannot do on Main Beach or anywhere else in downtown Laguna. So Park Plaza was the coolest place to be this week during the heat wave, and we felt like if you build it, they will come. We didn't promote it, we didn't announce it, we just put the chairs and tables and the barriers up, and it's remarkable because it's got a fantastic view of the ocean, and when you take cars away, it's quiet. There's no pollution from exhaust. And we've created this little tranquil park where you can bring your pets and your kids and any takeout food from Whole Foods or anywhere around town and go and sit and relax, recharge, and meet people. That's what we talk about, the return on collision, just the random meetings you have with people you know or even visitors. And so far, people are voting with their derrieres. They're coming and they're sitting. And from morning to night, we've got some beautiful Parisian kind of cafe lights strung across the trees to make it nice at nighttime. And I think it's a big win. Of course, there are people who use that as their little shortcut. And, there's always going to be inevitably unhappy people whenever there's change. But we hope the community comes down and checks it out and figures out this is a great place to meet people. We want to hear people say, meet me at Park Plaza.
Right, and you're not going to get an argument from me, as you know, because I've traveled the world, and I'm telling you, in every major city in the world, that's the future. They are taking parking away, they're doing park and ride schemes, and taking traffic away. For one thing, in those kind of in more ancient cities, it destroys the buildings. The fact the rumbling trucks that go through these places, the cathedrals are falling down. So they've had to do it, but what it does, as you say, is it opens up a place for people to sort of meet and hang out and. It's a wonderful thing, and I'll tell you something else. If it's all right for the Nazis to come down here and stand on Main Beach and be surrounded by cops and cost the city $40,000 every time they do it to exercise their First Amendment rights, we can afford to do this. And it's my little cut through to that thing, and it is irritating not to be able to do it, but so what? I'll get used to it.
There we go. Well, I just feel wonderful that I haven't gotten, that this is maybe the one time I haven't gotten an argument from Jason Fetty.
No, I'm with you all the way on the plaza thing. I do think, though, driving by, right now, of course, they've got the big old concrete bollards, road closed everywhere. It's not very pretty to drive by. No. And of course, they've got to put those there because people, your car will make that turn, because you've done it so many times. You've got, they need to put something there to make sure that people can see that you can't use that road. It didn't look too pretty from the road. There's some there. The chairs and tables don't look that, are they going to dress it up in the future?
Yes. In fact, there's a lot of people out there complaining that the budget for this was $50,000 and it doesn't look like $50,000 worth of decor. But the way things work in local government is we only got $10,000 to actually spend on the decor. And every penny is there because there was no labor costs because it was all community volunteers. But we really wanted to go in with this with as little fanfare as possible, just so there was very little pushback. So all we said is, let us put some planters and some chairs in, and then once they're there, let's find the funding to improve on it, to evolve it, see how people are using it, add more seating. We're also constricted by the police wanting to have seating that is not too inviting. In other words, no benches that you can lay down on. Not very few seats with backs, and it's an unfortunate reality of the world we live in today that we have to be mindful of loitering, and perhaps there's a big concern that the homeless are going to find it and destroy it. And my theory on that is if we tried to prevent homeless from being anywhere in our town, that means that we as the citizens will not have any public space for ourselves. And this is the new normal. It's every city in the United States has a problem with homeless. You can't sweep it under the rug. And we're going to have to learn to coexist and encourage good behavior and discourage bad behavior. and make sure that we feel a sense of ownership with this plaza, that it's community space, and we all have an obligation to make it as comfortable as possible. And then furthermore, we hope to program it with some activities, whether it's live music or screening films on the brick wall or art displays. That's all going to come, and we hope people are patient and don't render judgment too quickly. Let's let this full test go through for a couple of months and then step back and see where we're at.
Yeah, I was thinking maybe thinking a mural on that wall, but maybe you're right. Maybe movies would be good. Certainly live music, jugglers, I don't know. And I was thinking, and I was trying to butt in, and I apologize for that, but with a silly joke, but I was thinking, if you know, if you've got the thing about that, if the homeless is your big issue, if you don't do this kind of thing, the homeless win. So
right,
you've got to get on with your lives, you know. And if somebody's doing something antisocial, well, you've got a police force for that. That's what that's for.
That's right. And they're going to put a webcam in, and hopefully there'll be a big sign that says video surveillance. And you do what you can. And you know, if there's, like you said, bad behavior, then you pick up the phone and you call 911. And the police are aware that they're going to have to provide a little bit more intensified patrol around that area. They volunteered to do it. And so far, I mean, it's only a week in, but there hasn't been any incidences that I've seen. It's just been a, you know, I love sitting there and watching people's reactions as they walk by those barriers known as K-rails. And they stop and they look, and they and most people say, oh, my God, this looks really nice. And it's really a function of those trees, I have to say. Not every, you know, those people are saying, well, we have a park. It's called Main Beach. Well, that's not a plaza. That's sort of a promenade. You don't sit and meet other people. Plus, you're in the blaring sun and the wind, and it's just the locals don't use it. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that locals will come and find this as a great meeting place. And on hospitality night on December 1st, the police chief wants to turn it into a beer garden, which is an interesting concept
as well.
So we hope over time, you know, everybody said, well, we should have food carts, we should have this, that, and the other. You know how hard that is to do in this town, because all the merchants will cry foul. So right now it's just some attractive seating, a place to take a load off, and enjoy your takeout salad from Whole Foods, which I've been doing for years and have never found a place to sit. And it's a travesty in our town that you don't have public seating. So now we've got it, and we hope that people will come out and enjoy it.
Brilliant. Well, I will certainly, as soon as I've got 10 minutes to myself, I will certainly make the trip down there. And good luck to you, man. I think I personally think it's a wonderful thing. Sorry we don't have somebody on the other side to argue the other side, but there you go.
They'll be there. Don't worry. You'll hear them. They'll be in every newspaper this week, I'm sure.
Yeah. Okay, good. Well, thanks, Billy. Is there anything else we've missed out?
Yeah, I know we're short on time. The other quick news is last night at City Hall, they were debating how, you know, with the spate of fires that we've had recently, and of course there was a couple of accidents in Laguna Canyon where we had some power lines go down. They have resurrected the conversation about undergrounding the power lines, and I applaud the city council for getting ahead of that. It just looks like such a daunting project. They're estimating $128 million needed to underground all the overhead utilities. No, I'm sorry, $148 million, and that's not even including Laguna Canyon Road, which is job one, because they're afraid of it, you know, as an escape route if we have a fire. So this is fire season, and unfortunately, to find that funding is going to be a gargantuan task, and there is money out there in the state that is sitting there. They said $1 billion is sitting there for undergrounding power lines, but you have to prove to the state that you are in a severe risk fire zone, which Laguna and our council people are trying to do. They've been unsuccessful so far. They've had two meetings with the state utilities. So the fear on this, of course, is that it's going to take a decade or two before we get all this done. And can we do all that before another devastating fire hits? So not an easy problem, but certainly important that the city is focusing on it right now.
Yeah, now, is there a sense that, and perhaps you can answer this question, that even if we are not deemed to be, you know, there's not so much wilderness here, and we're not deemed to be as big a fire risk as other places, if this place goes up in flames, a lot of old buildings get lost, and a lot of California culture goes, so I would think that would balance. Do they take that into consideration?
Of course, and you know, we lost in the fire of 92, they lost the 440 homes, I believe, and a lot of them were historic, so that's a big part of it. But it's also just human, you know, safety issues. I mean, what's happened up in Sonoma, when you read some of those stories of people jumping into pools to escape the flames and dying of asphyxiation, it's heartbreaking. And we're so vulnerable, not only to the fires themselves, but also to getting out of town in an emergency. And that's where one of those power lines goes down. It becomes impassable, and we're stuck here. So we're very, very vulnerable to natural disasters, and it's very difficult to get ahead of these things, as we've seen with other parts of California. So, but that was the big meeting last night on City Council, was how to find that funding. And the other thing is, we can float a bond, which means the city could, you know, the citizens could pay for it. We've done this before to buy open space, we can borrow money. We have a great credit rating. We're not in debt. And sometimes debt is good if it's going to the right things, like, we preserved our open space, and now the flip side of that is we're vulnerable to fires. You know, by the way, we had such an amazing year of rain last year, which everybody breathed a sigh of relief to overcome a five-year drought. But the flip side of that, the unintended consequence, is we have high-growth plants now that are dried out and very combustible.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we'll say a prayer, keep our fingers crossed, and do what we have to do to try and keep ourselves safe here in this beautiful town. Yeah. All right,
Billy. Got it, my man.
Yeah, thanks very much, sir. It's wonderful to talk to you on a Wednesday morning. You keep us abreast of what's happening.
Pleasure.
And
tomorrow night on my show, I'm going to bleed into the show before me, as you know, is Deep Cuts, where they play vinyl.
Yeah.
And they're doing their annual Deadtober, which is a tribute to the Grateful Dead here by around Halloween time. So I'm going to donate my hour to them so we can get a full 3 hours of nonstop Grateful Dead. I'm sure that's going to really not appeal to you at all.
You can't please all the people, et cetera.
That's right.
All right, listen, have a great day, Billy. Thank you very much for calling on a Wednesday.
You got it, Jason. Keep the good effort going. We love KX93.5.
You are the man. Billy Freed calls in every Wednesday morning with the state of the city. This is Laguna's Only FM.